Okay, welcome to our post-game show for game number one of the World Series. And guys, we just saw the Cubs play in the World Series. Sure we saw did. That tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the positives.
Yeah, I honestly, I think there are plenty of positives from tonight, you know, looking outside of the final score. But yeah, but yeah, I mean, seeing, the first World Series game we've ever witnessed, that was pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. It just,
other than a loss.
Right. And a loss. And I mean, just kind of like, it kind of felt like the losses that the Cubs have endured so far this postseason. It seems like we've kind of seen this. And
yeah,
all I wanted to say to that was that we've seen this and we've seen the team recover from this. And so I'm just kind of surprised at the amount of just, you know, negativity on Twitter and social media already. It's like, we've seen this. We know yeah. this, and you've seen this team work out of things. And even when they weren't necessarily hitting the ball for the first five or six innings, you've seen them at the end of the game come back around. And so, that's all I want. Well, I don't want to complain about people.
I think putting it on the Cubs offense like they failed is kind of the wrong way to look at it, too, for everybody out there that like, oh, this offense is in a slump again. I challenge any baseball offense to go out against the pitching we saw tonight. Mm-hmm. And there were complaints about the zone, and I agree with a lot of that. But at the same time, even if it with a real tight zone, Kluber was dominant. I don't think any offense gets to him.
Right.
And they showed signs, and then they got to Miller and they made him work and couldn't cash in. That's what really got me fired up, is the not cashing in on the opportunities. But
yeah, again,
that's some pretty incredible pitching we saw tonight. So
right.
I'm not hating on the offense too much.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a really good sign. So I mean, we know that if this series goes seven games, the Cubs are going to see Kluber two more times, and I feel like they weren't like what's the word I'm looking for? Just like pathetic against him. I mean, they weren't able to really generate the runs, but they did get hits off of him, and I don't have the stats in front of me. Did they draw any walks off of Kluber? I can't really remember, but
no walks,
no, okay. None
off of Kluber. Nine strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah, and I mean, like as far as the strikeouts go, the one thing that kind of stood out to me in all of that is that the Cubs were seeing a lot of pitches. There were a lot of full count strikeouts. And I just kind of jotted him down because it was standing out to me. And this is an example. In the second inning, Schwarber struck out. He saw six pitches. Baez struck out. He saw five. And Coughlin struck out. He saw six. So it's kind of like, in a way, I feel like this game was kind of like the sacrificial lamb for these batters to be able to see some pitches. And I think that could pay off, like we saw it pay off against Clayton Kershaw. And so that's what I wanted to say about that. Andy, I haven't really given you the opportunity to weigh in on things yet.
Who's Andy? This is, Lonnie Chisenhall. Thanks guys for letting me be on your podcast. I'm calling from the Cleveland, clubhouse right now. I haven't made it back out to the PT Cruiser yet, to take off and head home. But, I feel like I had a little bit of a tough game, but I plan on coming back rest of the series.
Yeah, Lonnie, you know, I did predict when we in our last episode that you would make a mistake in the field, and I don't know
just
if I call
let
it a mistake,
that one but get just over my glove. I thought I had it, but it just went a little bit over the leather, you know, and that's going to happen from time to time. But I feel like I play generally a pretty good right field, and I'll get back out there and get after it the next game.
Can we just do a Lonnie Chisenhall interview episode?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do you have something you want to weigh in on, or do you just want to keep doing Lonnie?
I'm amazed at how similar, Lonnie Chisenhall and Kelby Tomlinson. They're like the same, the same voice.
They hang out.
Yeah, I made a joke on Twitter about how much he looks like a Lonnie, and then Tawny was like, my cousin's name is Lonnie. And so then I had to apologize to all the Lonnies out there. But she claims it was a she claims it was a popular name in the 70s. I don't know if I'm buying that. Yeah, I it kind of feels like tonight was what we have seen in every series so far in the postseason. Every series the Cubs have faced that one starter, Bumgarner and Kershaw and now Kluber. And I think in a way, I don't think that that the Indians pitching in general is as bad, or their other starters is maybe as like exposed as the Dodgers was, but I feel like that potential is there. Like, I have a lot of faith that the Cubs are going to be able to beat up on. I mean, you know, Bauer has 10 stitches in his throwing right? hand. You know, it's
especially in a 7-game series, the Indians pitching is going to run out of gas. I mean, they just don't have the depth to deal with the Cubs. So good job, you won game one, but I feel like the Cubs are going to outlast this team, and they're going to be able to get to the rest of the pitching.
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to get to the starters, and I'm really surprised that Andrew Miller threw, 45 or 50 pitches tonight? I mean, it seems a little...
46, I think, was the final count.
That seems a little excessive and a little bit unnecessary, and I mean, granted, you get, you know, they have Thursday off, but it seems like this was the night that you probably needed him the least, maybe. You know, just on paper, kind of looking ahead, it's like, man, I don't know about having him throw that many pitches. And the Cubs, not only was it a lot of pitches, but the Cubs really made him work.
Right. It was like, so once the Cubs loaded the bases, it's like, well, couldn't you have had Kluber throw one more inning? You know?
Right, yeah.
Because he was cruising. But, I mean, I guess that's what they've been doing all along. But still, I mean, I'd like the... When you talk about the positives to take away from this game, at least the Cubs were able to do what they did against Andrew Miller.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at like pressure, momentum, whatever, but this was a must win for the Indians. I mean, you can't lose a Kluber start.
Yep. Absolutely.
They cannot lose a Kluber start. And so it worked out for them. Again, this is one where I had plenty of moments where I was swearing at the TV. Don't get me wrong, but now that it's over, this is a hat tip. Like, wow, that was some great pitching. And good luck with your starting rotation depth, because you don't have it and we do.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I mean, it was really good pitching by Kluber, but at the same time, man, when you give a guy like him 2 inches off the outside of the plate, I mean, it's you can't do anything with that. It's you know, that's almost impossible.
Right. How about him grabbing some of those strikes at the top of the zone? And then there were definitely at least 2 top of the zone strikes that Lester threw that really kind of were game changing strikes. I mean, there was the Lindor steal. He threw a strike on that. Yeah. I feel like he threw a strike there that was called a ball, and it was called a ball. I mean, people might say because Ross let it kind of flip up and out of his glove, so he wasn't able to frame it, but it was clearly a strike. And I really feel like that changed that inning. I think he would have gotten out of that inning unscathed had that been called. I you know, no way of knowing for sure. But then it felt like the strike zone magically healed itself later in the game for Lester, and he was starting
to make calls late.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like as soon as Ross and Lester had the conversation with the umpire, it was almost like, okay, now we're back. I don't know.
Yeah,
I just kind of garbage.
I think the line looks bad on Lester, kind of, but he really wasn't that bad. I mean, the first inning, I mean, they small balled him
and
they scored runs, which is what you need to do. But
they small balled him.
Outside of that, he gave up that solo home run, and
he
struck out 7 and gave up 3 runs. It's not what we expect from Lester, but it's not horrific.
I don't disagree with you, Kurt. I think that they did small ball him. However, he absolutely seemed rattled after he gave up that hit and then the stolen base, he seemed rattled and he seemed like he was taking longer to throw the ball, and he was looking around a lot more and kind of fidgeting and stuff. He just didn't look comfortable. And I think that, you know, it's the first inning, and I think that the Indians were effective against him, and I think that he wasn't comfortable. And
well, and it, I think it part of it was in the past series, nobody's actually followed through on running on him. Well, he gave a two-out hit, and then you knew the Indians were going to run, and they did. And it's like he lost that trademark ability to forget about who's on the bases and just pitch. And
But, I mean, so it was
a little sketchy at times, but for the most part, he was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not faulting him for that first inning, but I think you give up that hit and then a stolen base, and one thing that's made him so effective and has made like it, I guess, ineffective to run against him is that he just doesn't worry about who's on base or where they're at or where they're going, and he just focuses on the batter. And he followed that up with two walks, a little dribbler, and then a hit by pitch. And so it was like, you know, I think it was those two walks and that hit by pitch that were just in the hit by pitch. I mean, that's going to happen. But I guess more so the two walks after that. And that was when, to me, it looked like he was rattled.
Yeah. I think he was as rattled as much by the strike zone.
I think
he wasn't getting as he was by the runners on base.
Yeah. I think that's probably partially true.
He was pretty frustrated. I mean, to the point where he went and talked to the ump after, I don't know what inning it was, but second or third inning, he went and chatted with Vanover after the inning. So,
yeah,
he was frustrated.
Yeah. And you know, I really didn't care for, and I don't know if it's the typical view, but I didn't really care for the angle of the camera. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't watch Cleveland games on TV, so I don't really know, but didn't it feel like one of those situations where the angle was maybe a little bit off?
Yeah. It felt maybe a little low, yeah, which is hard because you had a lot of like crossbody throwing pitchers that
make exactly
that sideways movement is hard to see with that low.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's easy to see, but the strike zone can be off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Andy, I feel like we're not letting you chime in.
Well, I mean, it's just, let's talk about Schwarber. Let's talk about some of the positives. I kind of expected Schwarber to look a little bit rustier than he did tonight.
Yeah. I think you could make the case that he looked, other than Zobrist, he probably looked the best as far as like his timing went. That was what was so surprising to me. And one thing that really fascinated me, and I maybe I'm just kind of imagining this, but in that first at bat, and maybe it's just that the camera was on him, on his face and showing him more because he's just coming back or something like that. But it was almost like you could really see his gears grinding in his head. You know what I mean? Like he just really seemed like he was really working and thinking, and like you could almost see him just like processing everything that was happening. And maybe he always does that. Maybe it's just because I imagined it, but it seemed like he was really locked in, and he took in that first at bat. That was when he struck out, but he saw six pitches, and it was like,
And that was, I mean, yeah. So he showed discipline at the plate. He got that big double off the wall. That was just, man, it was a whisper away from going out. And Joe in the chat pointed out, I'd forgotten about this, that Pete Rose predicted three strikeouts for Schwarber tonight.
After his first, you know, once he got that first, then he could go out on a, because before that, he was like kind of talking him up in the pregame. But then after one strikeout, oh, you know.
Right.
Got to go polish my white boots.
Right. Let's get in the box moment. So, So I love that. I loved seeing Schwarber hit that double, and I was like, oh yeah, Schwarber's back, baby.
Yeah, I thought he looked great.
Well, and I think that's, I don't know, I'm really trying to be as positive as I can be, because there were several moments which, when you don't cash in, are incredibly frustrating. But then you also look at the flip side of, like, there were a couple moments where they were, if that Schwarber ball goes out, maybe that shifts the momentum. It's a, what was it, 3-1 game if that goes out, or if they cash in on the bases loaded. any of that kind of stuff that you can look at and say they blew it. But the flip side is they almost stole it
from
an incredible Kluber Miller performance.
And I said that same thing on Twitter, and I got a lot of hate back my way for saying that they
tweeted the Cubs fans thing.
Oh yeah, well there was a whole bunch of stuff people were tweeting back at me.
Oh man.
Well, I'm not denying that I didn't lose it when they didn't cash in on those moments, but looking at the game as a whole,
they almost
snagged it.
I
mean, the final line does not show how close they were from stealing this game, but they didn't.
So, and I
move on.
And I think if they would have won, that's what they would have done, is stolen this game. This is not a game. This is a game that, you know, according to 538 and all the others, like, the Indians were projected to win this game, even though the Cubs were projected to win the series, or, you know, statistically that was what was most likely. I mean, the Indians had the advantage tonight, I think. I mean, and that's why I think, just in general, I think that what I went into this game thinking is, like, I think this is what you have to do when you don't have home field advantage in the World Series. You just have to take one on the road. You know, one of the first two games, you want to win one of them. And at that point, you potentially take home field advantage away from them because you can wrap everything up at home. But I think you just want to take one. And really, if you don't take one, if you lose two, that's not like 2-0. This is a 7-game series. You know, it's you have a lot more flexibility, a lot more freedom, and we've seen what happens. Like, when the Cubs won 3 in a row from the Dodgers, we've seen what happens when this team gets on a roll, and they can just kind of reel off some wins pretty quickly. Well, not right quickly. On. I mean, they have to wait for the game to start and everything, but you know what I mean.
Hey, it's starting earlier tomorrow.
That's true.
It's a little more quickly. I love the fact that, okay, so Schwarber looks like he's going to be an effective hitter, perhaps. And so the Indians have only two lefties on their entire pitching staff.
Right.
Granted, one of those is Andrew Miller. But still, I love the fact that he looks like he could do some damage, and they got one more lefty then, and they're in the lineup to face all these righties they're going to be running out there. So that's cool. Now, it looks like Francona probably is going to be pretty willing to pitch Andrew Miller until his arm falls off, I'm guessing. But still, I like that about Schwarber.
Yeah. Yep. I do want to interrupt us real quick and say that if you're watching live, there's a lot of people watching live. If you are, you can call our voicemail line right now and leave your thoughts on the game on the voicemail line, and we will play them at the end of this episode. The phone number is 309-517-0624. I'll type it in the chat. If you're not watching live, you can call into that voicemail line at any time, and we will include it after your message after our next episode. You know, if it's it doesn't have to be during a game. It can be just your thoughts on where you're at, you know, mentally going into games or whatever. If you want to call during the game and share some thoughts, go ahead, just whatever you want to do, and we will include it. So, by the way, I really enjoyed hearing all of the voicemails after the last episode, which was our celebration that the Cubs were going to the World Series. And I thought there were a lot of, like, just kind of touching stories in there, and just really it made me feel good as a Cubs fan to hear those things. I got a lot of feedback too that other people appreciated, people sharing you know, what it meant for them, to them, for the Cubs to go to the World Series. So
yeah, that was really cool. I agree.
Let's see. Oh, Javi tag porn. That was nice. Yeah. That was a beautiful thing.
Got one of those.
And it appears that did you guys see that the Indians Twitter account tweeted the Cubs today. Did you see this?
Is this the Cardinals thing?
Yes.
Baseball
thing? Right. Yeah, yeah. All these Cardinal fans have been tweeting the Indians their support, and they passed on Cardinals voodoo magic to freaking Perez, who had three home runs all season and hits two tonight. If that's not Cardinals voodoo magic, I don't know what it is.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't want to talk about him.
After looking at tonight's game, I feel like Rizzo and Russell are going to try to reprise their let's look like we're cold at the plate
right
the first couple of games and then just tear the cover off the ball for, you know, the middle of the series.
Well, and I mean, you know, you look at Kluber and Miller. I mean, those are the types of guys that Russell's really going to struggle against. And they even I don't know. By the way, I did switch over at one point, I think in the fourth inning, and started listening to the radio broadcast. And I know we've kind of talked about doing that here on the podcast and turning off the Fox and FS1, whatever they're on, whatever Joe Buck, you know.
Yeah, Fox now.
Right, it's on Fox. Proper. So like
Fox proper.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage you to do that because I was antsy kind of when I was watching the Fox broadcast and listening to them, and I turned on Pat and Coombdog, and it was just like it was relaxing to listen to them.
Would you say that it was a turning point in your experience as far as the game is concerned?
Oh, definitely. No, but I mean, it was.
So let me clarify though. So you use the MLB app,
right? So here's how I did
the audio settings.
Here's how I did it. I watched it on TV. I streamed it. It apparently is not blacked out through the MLB TV app on my Roku.
If you have a paid subscription.
Okay, if you have a paid subscription. So but you can also watch the game on the Fox Sports Go app or whatever, you know, if you have that for your whatever device thing you're using. So I was streaming it there, and then I played the radio broadcast on my phone, and my phone was actually ahead of the TV, so I was able to pause my phone and line it up. And it was much better. It was nice to listen to Pat.
I don't understand how you pause.
It works in short intervals if you just quickly pause it and start it again.
Okay, because right. See, I tried to sync up Pat and Ron tonight, and I have cable, and I was DVRing the game, and that's worked for me in the past, but the stream on the MLB at Bat app seemed like it was far enough ahead of the TV broadcast that I couldn't make it work. So that was depressing. I was
if you pause too long, it'll just reset.
It resets, yeah. So but I would
you need to do it in little bursts.
Right, I would pause it for like 5 seconds at a time.
Okay.
And it worked for me, and it was a much better listening experience. I mean, besides the fact that I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, but I Coombdog comes in with so this was after Lester had exited the game. And they came back from a break, and Coombdog talked about how he thought that Madden would probably stick with the bullpen for the rest of the game.
As opposed to
bring Jake in early. Lester, like,
go back, Lester back.
Right, go back to Lester. Yep. But anyways, besides that, it was really nice to do that. And I would suggest if you can figure out how to do it, and you know, I don't know if we explained it very well, but you know, I think it works best. It works if you have DVR and you can pause your broadcast, or if you happen to are streaming the video and it's behind the streaming audio, then you can do it. So. But now I don't even remember, like, I wanted to say that, and now I don't remember what I was talking about, so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I was saying. But that does make it better, for sure.
I will, okay, so while we're on that subject, very quickly, I actually don't hate John Smoltz. I don't like Joe Buck, but John Smoltz isn't terrible. I like his experience and I think he said some insightful things, so
yeah, I don't,
that's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna go into too much detail.
It kind of bugs me when he says that somebody scored 2 points. Like, that bugs me.
I didn't notice that.
He does that every once in a while. He'll say points instead of runs.
Oh, and
maybe nobody ever told him. Runs and not points.
I liked how he said, too, that Andrew Miller is exactly like Clayton Kershaw. And I was like, well, except that he throws with an entirely different arm.
Yeah, Tawny goes, it was funny because Tawny walked in and she's like, they're still talking about Kershaw? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't mind Smoltz, but I don't like Buck.
Yeah. I don't. It was just nice. It was nice to listen to Pat Hughes call a game.
How many times did he say turning point?
Well, there wasn't a turning point.
Never, because there weren't any.
He did say that, you know, I think it was an eighth. He's like, the Cubs really need to get a run here. But, man, there was one other thing I wanted to say. What the heck was it? Well, I mean, Zobrist had a good game. We could mention that.
Yeah, he looked really good.
I thought Fowler looked really bad at the plate tonight.
Yeah, Fowler, Russell. There were several guys who looked pretty bad. But hopefully, like I said, they're just trying to reprise the cold to hot from the last series.
Right. Well, and I mean,
I do think it's important to reiterate that if a pitcher throws that well, we know how good this Cubs lineup is and we know how many runs they can score. But if somebody throws that well, that's what it makes one of the best lineups in baseball look like. And
right.
It's so easy to forget that and say, oh, it's all the offense sucking. It's not. Right. It's just. It's probably both, but at the same time, it's a pitcher executing in every part of the zone. There's not a lot you can do.
Right. Well,
it looks silly and it makes us mad, but
right.
That's baseball.
But 9 strikeouts and he threw 88 pitches in 6 innings, and all of those guys saw a lot of pitches, and I think that could pay off down the road. I mean, I said, I kind of joked that this game was the sacrificial lamb, but in a way it could have been, because I feel like they all saw a lot of pitches. They've got good tape on him now, and I think that they're a little bit more familiar.
I think anytime you see the same pitcher, ace or not, in a week,
right?
That's definitely helpful.
Right. Well, and potentially see him 3 times.
Yeah, hopefully not see him 3 times.
No, that's true. But another thing to consider, though, is if he pitches game 4, that's Saturday. So, I mean, he's pitching on short rest at that point.
Yeah. And then if it gets to 7, he's
right.
Pitching short rest twice.
Yeah. Even shorter rest. Yeah. Yep. Boy, I don't have much else to say. I mean, this was just kind of one of those games where it was like, not a lot.
Were we going to briefly talk about the game 2 starters?
Yeah. I didn't. I was just, I'm looking at the box score and looking at my notes. Oh, I do have one more thing to say. It was hidden at the bottom of my notes. How about that dude in the front row with the signs trolling the Cubs?
Yeah.
I
tweeted about that. It's like one of the sides said, what did it say? Choke, like
it said,
chokers.
It said 84.
1984 and 03. And I was like, dude, like the Indians in their last 5 postseason appearances have missed the World Series.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what kind of a jackball pays that much for tickets?
Yeah, I didn't think we were gonna get an Andy laugh out of this.
No, I didn't.
You just pulled it out of
I didn't think Jack Ball was gonna get it either.
What kind of a Jack Ball, man?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of a Jack Ball pays that much for tickets and then sits there with signs trolling the other team? Like, I don't really understand. I don't really understand trying to troll another team, especially when your team is in the World Series. Like, how exciting is that? Right. Be excited for your team. I don't get it.
I think Danny had the best tweet about it. I can't find it, but it was something about dude has a lot of money for front row seats, but not enough to buy more than one marker or something like that. It was amazing, and I misquoted it, but it was something hilarious like that.
I would like to have seen him have almost any other sign than that. Yeah, a positive sign like Lonnie Chisenhall makes me hot and bothered or something like that, you know?
Right. And then the other one was Bartman for president. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, dang, he would be a pretty good option this year. I kind of wish I could vote for him.
Well, he's not into walls. He wishes he could just run out there and catch stuff. So he doesn't like walls.
That's true. That's true. Oh, man. gosh.
I'm going off the rails here.
Yeah.
Jack Ball.
Yeah. I don't know. That was about as bad as my daughter's most un-PC thing she's ever said about the Indians.
That's great.
Oh, it was terrible. And I was like, oh, you can't say that. And she's like, yeah, I thought that was maybe wrong. Yeah, that's wrong.
You were simultaneously horrified and proud.
I know. I did giggle a little bit, and I was like, oh, we can't say that. That's too far. She's learning. She's learning about the history of Native Americans now.
The fact that she got the references right was impressive enough.
right, exactly. So, yep, that was tonight's game. I got nothing else other than these games. For some reason, like these losses, and especially losses that kind of in games that matter, they kind of get my blood pumping a little bit because I get a little bit chippy on Twitter, and I kind of like just enjoy people just like freaking out, and it's like all season, like this team. If you've watched this team this season, you know that there's really no reason to freak out. If you've watched this team in the last 2 weeks, you know that, sure, you could freak out, but they also have given you more reasons to not freak out. And so I think, like, seeing people freak out, I don't know, it gets my blood pumping. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, when it was still a 3-run game, I fully expected them to,
right,
to more in the 7th and 8th and 9th and make it a close game. Didn't happen, but definitely was,
yeah,
thinking it could.
Yeah, well, speaking of it not being a 3-run game anymore, it was, Smoltz would say, a 3-point game. I have really lost a lot of faith in Rondon. And I mean, this goes back, I think I said it on the podcast. I know I said it when I was the games that I went to. I just, Rondon makes me nervous right now. I thought Strope looked amazing. Mm-hmm. But Rondon just, I don't know if he's not 100%, if he's not completely healthy or what, but I mean, from what I remember, the last time I saw him pitch in person, I was really trying to pay more attention to his velocity, and it seemed like his velocity was fine, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't really notice what it was tonight, but man, I don't have a lot of faith in him right now. And maybe when you're down 3 runs and you're facing, you know, really good starting pitching and really, and now you're facing a really good reliever in Andrew Miller, maybe this is a time that you just throw him out there and, you know.
He just hasn't seen a lot of work.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily too worried about him. I don't know. Yeah, he hung that pitch really badly that got hit out. But I just don't think he's had enough work. I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Yeah. And there's no way for us to know. So we can just speculate. So anyways, let's put a bow on this game. Let's put it to rest and look ahead to game 2, which is tomorrow night. Or I guess most people listening to this, it will be tonight, probably listening on Wednesday. So and it's worth noting, Kurt, you mentioned it, that the game has been moved up an hour, which I don't know if I've ever seen a game moved up an hour because of weather. So that was kind of bizarre. But Arrieta.
Yeah.
It's Arrieta against
Trevor Bauer.
Bauer, right, yeah.
Trevor Drone Blade Bauer.
So did you guys see what Jason from New Mexico did to Trevor Bauer, how he trolled Trevor Bauer?
I saw that. Yeah, so for people who are watching/listening, J- Jason sent the Cleveland Indians, or sent Trevor Bauer care of the Cleveland Indians, the cheapest drone that he could buy on Amazon, I guess. So it was kind of a first rate trolling job, I guess.
I was impressed. I was. So anyways, Kurt, do you want to talk about Bauer?
Yeah. Bauer, the drone, jacked up his finger, which I'm sure most of you saw the bloody finger, but I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail, but apparently he's a real arrogant jerk and nobody likes him. And
right.
He was 12-8 this year. He had a really incredible June. I think he was like 5-1 in June and a super awesome ERA, but late in the season kind of faltered. So I don't think we should be scared of Bauer. He's hittable. He's got a decent four pitch combination to work with the fastball, a cutter, curveball, and a changeup. So he changes speeds a lot and changes location a lot, similar to Kluber, but doesn't have the stuff of Kluber. I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher, but I think this offense will get to him.
Yeah, and it's just hard to say how that injury is going to impact him and his control and things like that. I mean, it would be great to see the Cubs be real patient with him and him kind of struggle to find the zone, just because you know that it's, I mean, that 10 stitches and you know, it's got to have an effect on how he's throwing the ball.
And one other note, Miggy did catch him. He started in Arizona, and Miggy has caught him before. You know, Miggy and Jake have a good thing going. So Miggy should get the start tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe that familiarity. You know,
with the left-handed bat, and that Bauer is right-handed.
Right, and the familiarity, that would be.
Yeah, and so against Jake, there are only two Indians players who have seen him for double-digit plate appearances, and that would be Rajay Davis and Mike Napoli. And so Davis is hitting 300. He has three hits in 10 at-bats. Napoli has two hits in 8 at-bats, but 2 walks. So that's about it. I mean, not a lot of these guys have seen Jake a lot.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think, what was the last day that Jake pitched?
It's been a while, man. It's I don't know exactly, but I know it has been a while. He's pretty well rested.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how many days rest he had, and that could be, it would be really nice, especially, you know, if it's kind of chilly and like if it's supposed to be rainy, I mean they're probably going to get the weather tomorrow that we're getting right now, and it is cool, you know, breezy, chilly, and so I think that that could play into Jake's favor too. If the Cubs are able to generate stuff by perhaps Bauer's control not being what it should be because of his injury, and if Jake can just be effective, and I don't know, I think this like matchup is favors the Cubs quite a bit.
Yeah, Jake's last start was against the Dodgers on October 18th. So that's been 8 days. He will have had 8 days rest, yeah. I guess.
Nice.
So that's a pretty long time. Apparently, according to Bauer himself, lets his pinky finger dangle for most of his pitches. So it doesn't... In his mind, it shouldn't really his injury shouldn't affect his pitching, but apparently he must kind of engage the pinky more than he realizes, since those stitches burst open in that last start.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know much about, you know,
dangling
the dangling or
pinky pinkies,
but you know, I think when you're pitching and using a hand like he was, I mean, do you get more blood flow going through there? You kind of, you know, I mean, I would imagine your hand kind of swells a little bit while you're doing that. So
when you're using an appendage a lot, it kind of tends to swell up a little bit.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, one other interesting note on Bauer too, is that at home, his ERA was 4.73. So he's actually worse in Cleveland than he was on the road. So,
well, why didn't they have him pitch game three instead? That's weird then.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I think this one looks good. I like this matchup.
Yeah. I just pulled up 538 because they have updated, and this says for game two, the Cubs have a 54% chance of winning to the Indians. Oh. Obviously 46. So
how generous.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I mean,
it's on, you know, it's at Cleveland, so
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I feel really good. I feel really good about tomorrow's game game two. And I think that if the Cubs can, like I said, if the Cubs could win one of these two, they're in good shape. And if you can head back to Chicago tied at one, I think that's a great situation.
Yeah. Agreed.
Anything else you guys want to say?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think we're all three just generally predicting a win for game two, and I think we're gonna see a Lonnie Chisenhall. I think Lonnie will go 0-for-4, 0-for-3 with a walk and an error in the field. I don't think that was, obviously it wasn't an error tonight, but I definitely feel a botched play in the field for Chisenhall.
Okay, well, I'm going to predict a solid Chisenhall performance in the field, but I think he's going to have a toot bland.
Oh man, Schwarber almost had a toot bland tonight.
Oh man, good Let's Lord. Just say he did have a
he toot did he there. Gave up. He was ready to walk back to the dugout.
Oh my goodness. He was like standing on third base and he even threw his arms up a little bit. At least
I think Baez kind of like, you know, confused him. But anyways, yeah, let's end it on a Schwarber toot bland. So as far as a post game show for tomorrow night, I would say after game two, I would say probably not going to happen. I'm going to be in the beautiful metropolis of Effingham, Illinois. Oh, I know. I do not like Effingham. But I will be there. Right.
Yeah, but you really don't like anyone named Lonnie.
Right. Effingham. If there's any Lonnie. Oh, you know there's Lonnie's in Effingham.
Hey, Lonnie from Effingham, reach out to Corey. Corey at IVMV.com.
You know he drives like an 87. Message.
Let him know what you think of him.
You know he drives like an 87 Chevy truck, too.
He's just going to keep digging himself a hole.
Right. He drives an 87 Chevy truck with truckstacles hanging off the back. Yes, he does. So probably not there probably will not be a post game show. However, I mean, I'm going to have my computer and I'll have hotel Wi-Fi hopefully. So, and you know, you guys, I'll be in touch with you. And if something really exciting happens and we want to do it, I'm okay with that. But, yeah, it's going to be weird. So every other time I think I've been in Effingham, I always go this time of year and, except it rotates, so I'm not there every single year, this conference that I go to. But I think every year that I've been there, the Cardinals have been in the World Series, and it's down in, like, Cardinals country. And so I'm really looking forward to the only place in town to watch a game is Buffalo Wild Wings. So
you're going to a conference in Effingham, Illinois.
I know.
I mean, I've been to conferences in Chicago.
Oh, no. Effingham.
Large cities.
Kurt, have you ever been to Effingham?
I have. We have friends from Effingham.
So really?
I do know Effingham.
Huh. Well.
And they're some of the best people I know, but they are Cardinals people. But they're,
oh, yeah.
They're
that's great. Deep red down there.
Yep.
So if anybody listening lives in Effingham, come on out to the Buffalo. Come out to B-Dubs.
Come out to the B-Dubs in Effingham.
Also, we did that game watch there in at the Market Grill in the Hy-Vee for the NLCS game that they clinched, and we're going to be doing another one. It's on this upcoming Saturday, so it'll be the World Series Game 4, and same place, and you know, it was a great situation for us because we had the place to ourselves. And it was awesome. We had a lot of fun. There's a video of the final out on our Facebook page. But yeah, we're gonna do another one. So I know that I've talked with some people that are considering traveling in for it. And I know that people in the Quad Cities are looking forward to it. So There's a, I've shared the event on our Facebook page and in our Patreon Facebook group. But if you're considering coming in and you want some information, just let me know. Again, it's in Moline, Illinois, in the Quad Cities. And we'd love to watch a Cubs World Series game with you. And unfortunately, now it will not be a World Series clincher for the Cubs. But it should be a lot of fun. We had a blast. And we'd like to hang out with you. And so, yeah, again, if you want any information, check out the event on our Facebook page, or you can email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at IVMB.com. So anyway, thanks for listening to this episode. And again, if it's your first time finding us, obviously this is not what our episodes are typically like. This was more of just the post-game show and us discussing the game and everything. And if you're watching live, you have a few minutes here to get your voicemails in, and I will include them. Again, the phone number is 309-517-0624. Also, we have an app. It's free. You can call our voicemail line from within the app, or you can listen to the podcast that way. And this episode was made possible by all of our Patreon supporters, and we have some new ones, but I don't have the list in front of me, so that'll have to happen on the next episode. But Patreon is, and the support from our patrons, I guess that's what they call them, which has always sounded weird, so I avoided that term. But that's what helps us do these episodes. It's helped us do all of our post-game shows and the extra bandwidth and storage that we needed for these. And if you like what we do here at IVMV, you can help support the show and help you know, make the podcast possible by going to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. There's perks at every level, and I got another round of perks sent out today, so I'm catching up. So thank you for listening. We may be back after game two. I would say most likely not. And in that case, you know, I don't know. Either maybe we'll do a game three preview episode, or we'll just wait and do a post game show. I don't really know. It's a busy week for everybody, I think. So thank you for listening. And until next time, go Cubs.
Hey guys, congratulations on the W. This is Tim from Decatur, Illinois. Wanted to be there with you guys last night, but me and my wife Katie decided to drive up to Wrigleyville after she got off work at 4. Well, we got in there about the second or third inning, and the Cubs already had a good lead going, and Wrigleyville was just nuts. We hung out down by the Fox Sports Studios. We're able to watch the game on some TVs out the front window of some people's homes. About the seventh inning, when you knew it was, when you could really start to tell it was going to happen, just people were just swarming down there, and there's already a lot of people to begin with. Just had a great time. I got to meet somebody that I deliver parts to on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Morton. Me and him always talk Cubs, and we're always going to go watch a game together. Never got to, but me and him met up in Wrigleyville that night, me and him and both of our wives, and spent the whole night up there together and just had a great time. And we were standing at the Harry Carey statue at center field when the Cubs clinched, and got to watch the W flag get raised from right there at Wrigley. Just had a great time last night. Wrigleyville was absolutely nuts. But I couldn't ask for a better night. It was beautiful. And hope to hopefully get to catch a watch party with you guys next weekend. And get to see a Cubs World Series win. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, fellas. Just finished. This is John from Grand Rapids. I just finished listening to the World Series podcast. I definitely want the Cubs, my prediction to be they win it in 5, because my wife's birthday is November 1st, and I will choose her over the Cubs, but I want them to win it as soon as possible so we can both enjoy it and not have that stress hanging over our heads. Great podcast. I'm definitely having a lot of fun out here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And as always, go Cubs.
Hey, this is Chris from Waterloo, Iowa. I discovered the podcast a couple months ago, and I really like it. I think you guys do an awesome job. But I wanted to leave my thoughts on the World Series coming up. I thought that they were going to throw Arrieta in Game 1, which I think I got a notification saying they were going to, which I like the way that turns out better than throwing Lester in Game 1, just in case Arrieta is a little off his marks again, because he's kind of had a tendency to do that recently. But he's still Jake Arrieta and can absolutely shut anyone down at any time. So if he does that and they are able to win Game 1, then he's still got the big lefty going in Game 2. But if they lose, and then you still got the big lefty going in Game 2. Either way, I think that's a good setup. And then Hendrick at home in Game 3, coming off that game that he just pitched where he just shut them down. It was an awesome, awesome performance by him. I think the Cubs pull it out in 4, maybe 5 games. I think they get the win in 5 games. I don't see it going much past that. But you guys do an awesome job. I'm going to keep listening. Keep up the good work.
Hey, guys. Stuart from St. Louis, currently in Bismarck, North Dakota. I just had a flash of insight. Kyle Schwarber, World Series MVP. Hear me out. No one's seen the scouting report on this guy, unless they look back to the however handful of at-bats he had at the beginning of the season. He's an unknown commodity. Can someone make a mistake pitch to him and him throw one out of the stadium? I think so. I think Schwarber hits at least 3 home runs this World Series and sparks an offense that's been already good. And if we're going to go with fairy tale endings to a 108-year drought, let's just go all the way. Let's have a guy be the first and probably only World Series MVP to have less than 50 at-bats in a season and have however many months to have basically missed the entire season so that when Disney buys up the story rights, they can go all out. Go Cubs.
Hey, guys, this is Sam in Raleigh just calling in. Tough night, but to win in 6. You got to lose 2 of them. So I think that was one of our 2. Like how we actually looked against Miller, we gave him some trouble. I think that bodes well for later on in the series. Go Cubbies.
Hey, guys. It's Justin from Virginia. This first game, you know. People are going to be talking bad about the Cubs. People are going to be saying overhyped. People sleeping on the Indians. But, you know, I'm not worried. We got Jake coming up. And then you come back with Hendricks at home. I think we get tomorrow, and I think we're still all good. You know, like, Indians pitching today, just outstanding. It's Zobrist is hitting well. Schwarber looked good. I think we're all good. No need to get worried yet. Well, love the show. Go Cubs.
Hi, this is Carrie from Des Moines, Cubs fan since 1968. And although I'm obviously disappointed that we didn't win the first game, I'm not a Cubs fan for nothing, and they're always tomorrow. Go Cubs, go.
Hey, how's it going? This is Brandon from New Mexico. Longtime fan, longtime follower of the Cubs. Anyone who is just jumping onto the bandwagon, let's say just after the All-Star game, doesn't understand that this team has no quit in them. And that's why all the naysayers are saying, oh, we lost game 1. Well, we might as well just wrap it up now. That was the same attitude that this team had in 2003. And this isn't the same team. This is a new attitude. This is new young talent. And we've been down before. So there's no reason to give up so early because they haven't given up yet. I know that we'll be back in game 2. We're going to take that game, and we're going to do what needs to be done, and that's take this crown back to Wrigley and make the magic happen in front of our own fans. Again, New Mexico proud, New Mexico love for the Cubs.
Hey guys, it's Pastor Josh and Karen from Colorado Springs. Can't say we're too down after the first game. Kluber's difficult. There's no doubt about that. Lester did not have a favorable strike zone. We've got to feel good about the fact that Schwarber looks like he didn't miss a beat. Zobrist got some good bats on the ball. Plus, you made Andrew Miller throw 50 pitches, and guess what? He's not superhuman. I'm liking game two. Go Cubs.